Welcome back to the Ed Morrissey Show. Joining us, as always, the Prince of Twitter, the Regent of RedState.com, Andrew Malcolm, at AH Malcolm on the Twitterses. How are you today, sir?
So far, so good, Ed, but it's early yet.
It is early. Let me see if I can ruin your day for you. Let me know if this works. Our long national nightmare is over. Jimmy Kimmel is coming back to late night TV.
Oh, thank goodness. Isn't that amazing?
It just broke about 5 or 10 minutes before we started recording this. That's the reason why I was late. I was trying to edit a post that I had actually almost completely finished writing, and then the news broke and I had to go back and rewrite it. And John had it in an update, and I didn't realize that until I was ready to post. And it's like, you know, total mess, of course, you know, it's Confusion City over at hotair.com. Now here's the interesting part about this, though, right? Yeah. And, you know, we talk about media, we're in this whole media space. We talk about this all the time. We're going to get to Andrew's excellent columns here in just a moment. But I think this actually might be related to your latest column. I'll get to that in a second, though.
Okay.
Now, Disney has restored the show. Apparently, they're going to bring him back tomorrow night, or that'd be tonight for us, right? However, there's no word from the affiliates as to whether or not they're actually going to allow the show to air. Now, for those not familiar with this, networks like ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, not the news side, but, you know, the Fox entertainment side, they own some of their own stations, but a lot of their stuff is carried on affiliates where somebody else owns the station and they enter into a contractual agreement. There's a handful of these that actually affiliate with more than one network. So they kind of blend the program. Yeah. It's really interesting. You know, it's one of those things where unless you happen to be close to the industry or have had any experience with this, you don't really generally tend to think of it. And I think it, like their biggest flagship stations like KABC in Los Angeles and WABC in New York are probably owned and operated, right? So those are, Disney owns those. So if they're going to put Kimmel on the air, he'll be on in Los Angeles and New York. But other places like Washington, D.C., for instance, Sinclair owns that. Now, if you're not familiar with Sinclair Broadcasting, Sinclair Broadcasting is a rather conservative outfit. They are not really big fans of, you know, in the news space, they're not really big fans of the left. And after Kimmel just went off his nut about Charlie Kirk and blaming the assassination on MAGA and all this kind of stuff, Sinclair went to Disney and said, "We're not letting him back on the air until he apologizes and make significant contributions to both the Kirk family and Turning Point USA." Now, he's not done any of those things yet. And I don't think he's gonna. So now the question is, Andrew, is he might be back on some ABC stations.
Yeah.
Nextstar, by the way, is the other affiliate group that took him off Nextstar, the air.
Nextstar, I think Nextstar's bigger. And Nextstar has a merger pending before the FCC. I think they were first, and then Sinclair came along. They were first to say, no, we're not going to do Kimmel. So I'll be interested to hear what Nextstar owns a whole bunch of, I think the most dozens of ABC affiliates.
I think Sinclair actually has more. I think Sinclair is the larger of the two, but both of them own quite a few of these things. And I think Nextstar is more rural, I think, actually, and Sinclair is more urban. I'm not quite sure about that.
Well, Nextstar is, for instance, they own the old WGN in Chicago. They have one merger pending with an acronym owner of stations that would make them by far the biggest. They also own The Hill and some other publications, old legacy publications. They have been very conservative, and I'll be interested. They're the ones that have been hiring. They hired like Chris Cuomo and a bunch of the others that had been fired from CNN and other places. So You're right. You're absolutely right. It'll be interesting to see which ones they carry. And you know what? I have no inside information on Disney, but what they may be doing is they caught a firestorm from this whole free speech stuff, which we can get into that.
Ironically, yes. Yeah.
We can get into that free speech thing because I don't think the Jimmy Kimmel thing is free speech. I mean, he was what do you call it? Propagating a falsehood that, as you said, that it was MAGA involved with the Kirk assassination. To my mind, that's like shouting fire in a crowded movie theater. That's not free speech.
Actually, it is. That whole fire in a crowded theater thing. Yeah. I mean, the Brandenburg thing actually doesn't set that aside. Now, I think it's free speech, but I don't have a problem with corporate accountability for corporate speech either. And that's what actually was going on here. You know, Brendan Carr got involved in this, and you know, even Ted Cruz is angry about Brendan Carr getting involved in this. But the truth is that Kimmel was going to go off the air anyway. He will eventually go off the air. The question is, though, is just how long Disney really wants to drag this out, because honestly, again, I don't think Sinclair is going to put him on there. And the problem with that is that you have to, I mean, they call it clearance. How many, you know, what kind of clearance? You have a 95% clearance rate, probably from, or higher than that, for most ABC network programming on their affiliates. And people don't remember this, but the affiliates actually have quite a bit of power within the networks because they can simply choose not to run it. Now, I'm sorry, the microphone's off a little bit here. Now, that means that they can run whatever the hell they want to run. They don't have to run ABC's programming. They can run, and in fact, this is exactly what Sinclair did on its affiliates. They can run Celebrity Family Feud with Steve Harvey. Reruns. They were probably, certainly that cost them a hell of a lot less than running Jimmy Kimmel's show. And it was probably funnier.
yeah, exactly. Well, what I
more entertaining.
Think what could be happening is that Disney, as you said, ironically, caught a lot of flack over this free speech thing and shutting Jimmy Kimmel down. So they bring him back to try to get out of that quicksand. And then the affiliates don't show it. And then they give up on him. I think they were going to give up on Jimmy. Disney was going to give up on Jimmy Kimmel anyway. It's so expensive. The audience is dwindling. And the controversy can be good, but I don't think they like it that much anymore. He is an a-hole, Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, he's been a very successful one. I saw something on Twitter that said, wouldn't it be funny if they left Jimmy Kimmel off the air and they brought back Adam Carolla to replace him? But they were partners on the Old Man Show.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I think Adam Carolla would be happy to do it too. That would be funny. Part of this is it's just kind of silliness, right? And I think that this is what happened. Is I think Disney came to the left. Michael Eisner went on social media this weekend and said, whatever happened to the leadership at Disney? This is awful. You know, they're caving to the government. Well, Michael Eisner used to be Bob Iger's boss, right? And I believe he's still got quite a bit of clout within the company. He probably owns a metric, you know, buttload of stock. I mean, not enough to really move the needle, but enough to be enough for his influence to be felt. So clearly they were, here's one of the funny things that happened is that Zoran, just before this happened, right? Zoran Mamdani, maybe a few hours before this happened, declared that he was going to boycott the ABC forum that's taking place later this week in New York City, you know, the mayoral forum. It was a town hall event, right? So you're going to have people out there who are going to just ask questions. And Andrew Cuomo basically called him gutless for it. Now that they're bringing Kimmel back on the air, it's going to be hard to maintain that boycott. And I don't think Mamdani's ever done anything like this before. You know, I don't know if it's competitive. I think Cuomo's going to be there. I think the other candidates will be there. But Cuomo wasted no time in climbing all over his butt to call him a gutless coward, basically. And now that Kimmel's going to be back on the air, I mean, he's... may end up being the biggest loser in this.
I hope so. He's a disaster.
Yeah, he's a disaster.
He's so far ahead. I've seen the stuff now saying that it's pointless to keep on with the campaign because he's going to win it.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's 20 points up.
Yeah,
he's 20 points up with like 7 weeks left
to
go. Well,
you know, and New York's going to get what it deserves. So. And that fits in with Trump's argument or statements that these Democrat-run big cities are just deteriorating. They're just deteriorating. When you've seen Chicago, which I have always had a fond spot in my heart for, just go from being the best run city in the country to nothing. Electing Lori Lightfoot and then this guy. Jeepers creepers.
I'm waiting for Donald Trump to respond on Truth Social. I just double checked it while you were talking just to see if I can get a reaction with Kimmel thing, just for fun. But I mean, the fundamentals of this haven't changed, right? Unless Kimmel is willing to change the way that this show goes, it's a ratings disaster. It's a financial disaster. Disney's losing money on this thing every single year now. And I think Kimmel makes $16 million a year, which is about twice, I think, what it costs the whole Gutfeld show, salaries included, on Fox every night.
And he's ahead.
and Greg's getting tremendous ratings, relatively speaking. None of them get the same type of share that Johnny Carson did, or even David Letterman and Jay Leno did in the immediate aftermath of Carson's retirement. It just isn't there anymore. They've kind of pissed it away because they've turned it into a political diatribe every single night. And so, you know, I've talked about that, but it mimics what is happening with the media in general.
And with the Democrat cities.
That's right.
Just downhill with all the progressive policies. Wacko.
Did you see Brandon Johnson in Chicago declare that law enforcement was the disease and that he was going to, get rid of it.
Sure, who's gonna protect the government run grocery stores?
Well, they're gonna hire that was the other part of that story, right? They were talking about how they were going to get community, I forget what they called them, but basically community protection, right? There's this program that they're running, and JB Pritzker, it's just, you know, a day or so prior to, or maybe the same day that Brandon Johnson was saying, you know, declaring that law enforcement and the courts and jails are the disease and he's going to eradicate it. Eradicate it was his word. JB Pritzker is promoting this program, and he's standing next to this guy who's talking about, and the guy's got the yellow vest on and say, well, this is the way that, you know, we're going to bring safety and peace back to our neighborhoods. And turned out the guy had 4 warrants for his arrest in 4 different states. And then, and not so funny, because they didn't vet him and arrest him when they had an opportunity, he was part of a gang that committed an armed robbery, and the police were chasing him, and he ran into and killed somebody who was coming home from work at Northwestern University. So the guy that they were, you know, Pritzker was standing next to, it may have been the week before, ended up killing somebody in a crime. This is Pritzker's idea of the guy who was going to restore peace and community to the streets of Chicago. It's absurd. So yeah, the Kimmel thing is
allegedly. Yes.
Allegedly. Yes. We'll say allegedly. Did you see Abby Phillip on Saturday, by the way?
No.
We're talking about Kimmel. We're talking about, you know, the free speech thing, right? And I kind of held on to this one. I saw the because I hold grudges. No, that's not what I mean. I saw this over the weekend, and I didn't get a chance to write about it this weekend because I really needed a break this weekend. So Saturday morning is when they have this panel show. Notably, about the lowest point of news interest in the week, right? Saturday morning.
Right.
Friday night, Saturday morning, that's where you bury stuff. Abby Phillip is talking about cancel culture and Jimmy Kimmel with the other four people on the thing. And Camilla Foster says to them that, you know, that progressives need to own this because they're the ones who started doing this well before what happened to Kimmel happened.
Yeah.
And Abby Phillip, to her credit, says, I think that's something more liberals should say. They should acknowledge, not just in passing, but actively acknowledge where things went wrong. That's the only way forward. And it's not just enough to say, well, my cancel culture was fine, but yours is wrong. It has to be acknowledgement that everybody understands what free speech really looks like and what it means. And then you have to apply that thinking to what was happening 4 or 5 or 6 years ago and say something. To which one of the panelists said, oh, but it wasn't the president of the United States canceling him. Joe Biden wasn't canceling somebody. Kamala Harris wasn't canceling. I beg to differ.
Oh, boy.
Were you asleep for 4 years?
Well, you know, I suspect that they're not really that ignorant. I think they're just trying to sell the falsehood the way Kimmel was.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
If you say it enough, and you know, I mean, there's some sense to this. A lot of people have the TV on, but they're not sitting there focused on it. Okay. It's on. It's like somebody sitting in the parlor all day, and they walk through and they hear somebody like Jimmy Kimmel say, well, you know, the MAGA people did it. And as far as they know, that's it. Why would he say something that wasn't true on television? And so they go away thinking it. That's the way this public discourse gets polluted. It happens all the time, of course, online, but still it resides there and people can check. But that's the way TV does. TV is a wonderful thing, but it's also been responsible for a lot of not so good stuff in the country. And I think it's polluted our politics. Our politics were calmer, more reasonable. And then we started having TV debates. And the first convention was 1952, was the Republican convention and then the Democrat convention that were on television. That was the first. And they both parties agreed that they would do it in the now defunct International Amphitheater in Chicago, because the equipment was so big and heavy, they couldn't move it to the next city if the parties had conventions in different places. But, you know, you didn't have John Edwards kind of pretty boy fixing his hair in politics before. You had real people, and some of them were smart and good and others were not. But for instance, Harry Truman, he couldn't be a president or a politician now because he was a regular guy. And when he retired, you know, by the way, in 53, when Eisenhower came in, he just had his Social Security to go on. You think about how times have changed. Anyway, television has been part of the coarsening. It plays to the lowest common denominator in all ways, which is commercially valuable, lucrative, but it's not good for the long run.
Right. I'm still trying to find something from Sinclair Broadcasting on Twitter or anything else about that. But
The Disney decision to put them back is pretty sudden, so they might have to think about it for a couple hours.
Well, I would imagine that they were trying to talk to the affiliate groups to see, you know, they could get them to restore that. But, you know, again, hard to say, but I will say this. I don't think that they're going to be so easily mollified as to just simply restore him just because Michael Eisner got annoyed.
Yeah.
You know, no, that might be good enough for Bob Iger, but I don't think that's going to be good enough for, what they're doing. So, yeah.
So,
we'll see.
Speaking of columns,
well, I mean, it does kind of lead us into some of the things that you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, Democrats' shocking plot to help Trump and the GOP in next year's midterms. Let me tell you something. I think Jimmy Kimmel is a key part of that. I really do.
Yeah,
I think the idea that's the reason why I'm kind of irritated with Brendan Carr is keep your mouth shut. He's doing a great job of electing Republicans right now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what the Democrats in their disarray, there's got to be a stronger word than that, but in
chaos,
their
meltdown. I mean,
yeah, in their ongoing meltdown from last fall and their refusal to apologize. And this is one of the things I got into in the column was apologies are funny things in America. They may not be as potent in other countries, but apologies really, they mean nothing, right? I mean, they're cosmetic. They're like covering up a pimple on your face with makeup. Apologies, but they have this invisible power that makes everything okay most of the time if you just say you're sorry or admit you were wrong or you won't do it again. I mean, think in a crowded theater, you're trying to get past some people to get to your seat and you step on someone's toes and you say, excuse me. Well, you don't even know who it is, but you just throw it out. And Kimmel could not bring himself to say, excuse me, because he's probably, you know, with the contract, he's still going to get his 16 mil. So he doesn't care. The apologies, to my mind, are phony, but Americans like them. So who am I to say? What I wanted to get at was how Democrats, and I can't imagine they're doing it intentionally, but their ongoing chaos, refusal to accept responsibility for the Biden mess, for nominating him, electing him, because they didn't like Trump. See, you always get in trouble when you vote against somebody. There's always trouble, right? I mean, you get angry at Gerald Ford for the pardon of Nixon, so you vote for Jimmy Carter, and you get a turkey. The same thing happens. 70% of the Democrats in polls in 2020 said they weren't voting for Joe Biden. They were voting against Donald Trump. Okay, great. Well, welcome to dementia world. It's a mess, and it gave us a mess, and they won't take responsibility for it. They're counting on Americans forgetting about it, which might be the case. But and Trump is overwhelming them with his blizzard of actions. I mean, it's hard to find a policy area that Trump hasn't done something about. You might disagree with it, but he's in on everything. Excuse me. So part of the column was looking at, well, what are Democrats trying to do? By the way, this might be the most successful in terms of readership column that I've done. I was kind of surprised. Hakeem Jeffries is allegedly drawing up a master plan, and he's talking about affordability. Well, good luck talking about affordability after 9% inflation and the Biden world.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Good luck talking about healthcare when you covered up the guy's lost his mind. He's not yet gotten into immigration. Well, no kidding, and he won't, because they've created this problem that's going for us that's going to last for decades.
Exactly.
They're kind of over the barrel. Presidents usually lose congressional powers, congressional members, in midterms. 18 out of the last 20, they've lost House members. In fact, Obama lost 63, which was a record going back to the 30s in 2010. They can't seem to get themselves to right their ship. And it's getting late, you know. I mean, Trump and his people, they're helping to pick quality candidates as opposed to not paying much attention last time in the first term. They're fundraising the incredible amounts of money. The Trump's PAC has over 200 million. The DNC has 15 million left. So money doesn't guarantee wins, but it's hard to get a win without it.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's hard to do anything without it, actually. So yeah, not a big shock to anybody, but
and Democrat, just one more thing, sorry. Democrat donors, they watched Kamala spend. I mean, this, I can't imagine. You have to figure this out by the hour. During her 15-week campaign, Kamala spent $100 million every 7 days. Every 7 days, a $1.5 billion in her disastrous campaign. And what did she get for it? A loss. So the donors are kind of like, show me what you got, you know? They're not writing checks right now. And who can blame them?
No, part of the problem is that they've cut off the U.S. aid funds to all these organizations that used to organize.
Yes, and that too.
So the money may not exist. At least in that form, you know,
a strong argument that the loss of Donald Trump in 2020 created his big success this time, because he had 4 years. I suppose he was stewing, but he had 4 years to plan and plot and decide and organize supporters and staff. So he comes to Washington not as a rookie anymore. He comes to Washington with a well-organized first 200 days and blows everything out of the water. And I don't think he would have done that if he won in 2020. He wouldn't have had the time to think everything through and realize his mistakes from the first term.
No, you know, and I think that I think that they were on a path that didn't really allow for the type of success that they were looking, that they wanted, right, in the first term. And I think that interruption really did serve him well in the end. We'll see.
Yeah.
But, you know, but he's been a lot more on focus. He's been a lot more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course, he's got Susie Wiles. So that's a big plus. She's kept him focused. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. That's extremely important. Although, like I said, I think we talked about this last week. I think Mark Meadows actually had it kind of locked the White House down a bit and got things running pretty efficiently in the last couple of years of that term. But by that time, the damage had been done, right? And they were still not really on the right path. This time, they're just saying, the heck with it. We're just going to smash everything and go for that. And by the way, so they're firing people from independent agencies that supposedly they weren't supposed to be able to do, but the Supreme Court just announced today that they were going to let Trump. They're going to hear the argument on it. Not that they're going to, but they are going to let Trump fire the person from the Federal Trade Commission on that issue. In the meantime, they're going to let her be separated. And this isn't Lisa Cook at the Fed. This is a different case. That's, I think, at the appellate level right now, not at the Supreme Court level. But But in the Supreme Court, basically, it's the same thing. So it should be interesting to see where the Supreme Court goes with that. But this is part of their new strategy, which is that, you know, you can't drain the swamp by the swamp standard. So you have to break the swamp in order to drain it. And yeah. I think that that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And it's fascinating to watch. The media, you know, they hate Trump, but boy, they got to be pleased with the traffic they're getting, because he generates so much interest in news, and he, while he's inhabiting Democrat heads. I mean, what are they doing? They're doing things like marathon speeches in the House and the Senate. What is that proof?
It's all they can do. I mean, it's kind of all they can do. Say.
Well, it proves they're wearing diapers. That's what it proves.
Well, it does that too. It does that. You know, and this is the thing. We haven't talked about this yet. We'll just get to it real quickly before we get to any jokes of the day. You know, the continuing resolution, Chuck Schumer says he's going to oppose the continuing resolution that they're going to shut the government down. And I was talking to people on a conference call this morning. I said, I can't imagine that they're actually going to do that, because it would be the single dumbest thing you could do under the circumstances. Because do you know who gets to run a shutdown? It's the president of the United States. He gets to determine, you know, what is, you know, what's it called?
Emergency.
Well, emergency, but you know, the important services. I'm trying to think of the critical services or whatever you want to call it, you know.
Yeah.
So he can shut down whatever he wants to shut down. And if Schumer hands him that, he's just going to shut down a whole bunch of things that Democrats like and want to protect, and make the point that we can live without these things, and we'd be a lot cheaper if we just shut these things down for good. That's exactly what Trump wants to have happen. The president runs a shutdown.
And Schumer is claiming that we're going to shut them down. Well, then when things get shut down, if you don't like it, who are you going to blame? The guy who announced he did it.
Right. I mean, this is a clean CR. This is just the same spending thing as the trajectory that we're on while they're getting the budget put together. So, I mean, there's really no point in blocking this. Now there's a breaking news story that congressional Democrats plan to meet with Donald Trump this week to avoid a shutdown on October 1st. But Trump's going to tell them the same thing. We've got a CR. Just pass the CR. And then let's talk about the budget. But just pass the CR. We don't have to shut this thing down. And if they don't do that, he's going to go out there and say, Democrats, shut the government down. I'm going to make sure that essential services, that was the term I was looking for. I'm going to make sure that the essential services are up and running. You're not going to miss your Social Security check. You're not going to miss your Medicare payment. But we're going to shut down the Department of the Interior. We're going to shut down the Department of Labor. We'll shut down this. We'll shut down that. And maybe we'll catch up to the work later. We won't, you know, we'll shut down the entire Department of Education. That'll be the first thing to go. It'll be the Department of Education. We're just going to shut the whole thing down. See you. Bye.
Which is not a joke of the week.
Not a joke of the week. All right. We should get to the jokes of the week. Do you have a joke for us today?
I do not, Ed, because it's been a sad week.
It has been a sad week. I do have a joke, though, for us today, just so we can go out on a cheery note.
Oh, you are so heartless.
Ouch, baby, ouch. Okay, but I'm going to tell it anyway.
I'm shutting down humor at this dark national time. And what's his name, Morrissey, is making fun of everything that's holy and sacred.
It's the end of the world as we know it, but I feel fine.
Okay, Ed, try to make us laugh.
All right. So a woman is walking down the beach, and she sees this old oil lamp. She pulls it out, and she knocks the sand off of it, and she's trying to rub the sand off of it, and a genie pops out. And the woman goes, wow, do I get 3 wishes? He goes, well, no, these days it's just 1 wish. He says, you know, inflation, you know, it's just, times are hard. I'll give you one.
All right.
I will give you 1
laughing.
Wish.
I'm laughing already. Yeah.
I'll give you 1 wish. And she says, all right, here's my wish. I want peace in the Middle East. Do you see this? You see this map? I want all these countries to stop fighting with each other. And the genie looks at the map, and she says, and he says, look, lady, these countries have been at war for thousands of years. I'm good, but I'm not that good. Make another wish. Woman thinks for a minute, and she says, well, I've been trying to find the right husband. You know, one that's considerate, and fun, likes to cook, helps with the house cleaning, has a great sense of humor, gets along with my family, doesn't watch sports all the time, and will be faithful forever. That's what I wish for, a good husband. And the genie looks at her and he says, let me see that map again.
Okay, that works. That works. That works.
Take another look at that map. Yeah. We'll work something out for you on this. Jokes of the day, Ned. I enjoy that. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Well, you never have to look at a map to know that Drew Malcolm is the prince of Twitter, the regent of redstate.com, at AH Malcolm on Twitter/X, and of course, redstate.com. You just go over there to the VIP column, and we were discussing one of his great columns, Democrats' shocking plot to help Trump in the GOP in next year's midterms, which made me laugh out loud when I saw that headline. And then, of course, his earlier post, which is, you're a fascist, you're a fascist, everyone's a fascist. No, you're a fascist, no, you're a fascist. What does that even mean anyway? I was getting Oprah vibes. You get a fascist. Did you get a fascist?
It's just everybody is. I don't know what it is, but you're one of them. Yeah.
I guess so. Maybe because I'm telling jokes at the end of a podcast. I'm sure that's a fascist thing to do. So, all right. Andrew Malcolm, go read his stuff. Redstate.com at AH Malcolm on Twitter. Andrew Malcolm, we'll talk again. Might be 2 weeks from now because I'm taking next Monday off. So might be in 2 weeks.
Okay. Oh, geez. The country will have to get along without us.
Well, no jokes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good luck, America. Thanks.
Good luck, America. I'm out of here.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.